most banks require a solid debt coverage ratio, so that way you can ensure that if something bad happens, you can still make your payments on it. And so that's why a market like Kansas City is a little different than California or some of the coastal areas.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm very excited to introduce our guest for the day, Alex Olson. Alex, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear from you and all you have got to share. So everyone, Alex is a commercial real estate broker, and without using a dime of his own money, he set out to buy investment properties in some of the most sought after areas of Kansas City. He did it with drive, hard work, and a desire to provide long-term wealth for his family. Alex understands the frustrations of not being able to locate off-market deals, not finding deals that cash flow, and running into dead ends. So I'm excited to dive into your story, Alex, and I know you've got a ton of wisdom to share. So why don't you start us off with, how did you get into real estate?
Yeah, you know, getting into real estate, everybody really is actually already in real estate, whether you know it or not. And so that's kind of was my realization. I started building our dream home, my wife and I, and I just fell in love with the process of all of it, from financing it to, you know, yes, getting contractors out there is very frustrating, but, you know, just kind of learning the world, so to speak, and what provides and adds value to a home.
What was it about the, just real quick, about the financing that you fell in love with?
Yeah, I think it was interesting. Well, the big piece to financing, even though it was my own home, it was, you know, let's say it's a $1 million house. You're not buying something and have to use all of your own money to get that financed. And so that was, and has always been interesting to me, is the leverage aspect, right? How do you leverage as little of money as possible to get the best return on your money? So even though the house might have cost you, you know, I'm making this up, let's say it cost you $500,000 to build, it might already be worth $750,000. And so you have built-in equity into that that you can then leverage and use to buy other properties if you want to. And so that piece of it, I really kind of fell in love with. I mean, there was also a lot of other details in there of getting a home equity line of credit almost immediately after we closed, partially because we had to finish up some of the financing piece to it. And I have a finance background in small consumer finance and an economics degree, so to speak. And so all those things really factored into the real estate world. And then the physical nature of a building, you know, a location, you know, because it was funny, we were actually talking to an attorney last week, and he said, real estate, every piece of real estate is unique. Even if it looks identical, even if it's on the same block, same street, it still is slightly different than the next piece of property. And so that always interested me.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And just back to your point about adding value, like spending, you know, in the example you gave, the hypothetical example, spending $500,000 to build a house and then having a property that's worth $750,000 and then being able to leverage that equity, take cash out, or in your case, get a home equity line of credit so you can use that equity to continue to expand. It's definitely a very attractive aspect of real estate investing. Okay, cool. So you built your first home and then what?
Yeah. So then, you know, I was like, man, I really like this aspect. I learned a lot about the home equity line of credit piece. And, you know, I've always had this burning desire. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't like the 9-to-5 grind necessarily. There's got to be something other than the stock market that can help, that I have a little bit more control over, that I can build wealth through.
And just real quick, What was it about, you know, the lack of control in the stock market? Can you speak to what was, you know, what that was like for you?
Yeah. So I had actually invested in some, of course, mutual funds and some other short-term holding stocks that were designed to give me, I don't know what it was, 4% or something like that, or 5% return on my money as I was saving that. But, you know, you watch the stock market every day. This was back in between 2006 to 2012 or so. And so, you know, listen to the stock market people every single day, and it was going down, 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 down. And my stock manager was, you know, telling me, well, you know, it's going to turn around at some point. And it did. We all know it did. And stocks are high and great and amazing. But I didn't have any control of that money. And when I looked at it, let's say you put in $50,000 and you're getting 4% a year or 5% a year. That's pretty neat. You know, it's better than nothing. But when you take a look at real estate and you put in, you know, your 20% down into an investment property, let's say, and that investment property then not only appreciates due to just inflation in general, but you've also got all of your tenants, and in this case, multifamily, all of your tenants are paying down your debt. So you're not paying down your debt, the tenants are. And then you also have the cash flow from that that comes into your pocket that you can either make improvements to the building to make it worth more money or use it to buy more property or keep it. And so all three of those compounding financial pieces was what really kind of led me to go, hey, look, this is a good deal for me. And, you know, as we all have heard and read, you know, whatever it is, 90% of the world's wealth is all stored in real estate, or maybe it's even 99%. So, you know, how can I get a piece of that puzzle? Then you lob on top of that, you know, they don't make any more land. Land is finite. So all these different things kind of drew me in to real estate at that point.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of really excellent points there. And just to circle back on something that's pretty important, and we do talk about in the show, but for review, some of the financial benefits of real estate are, and you mentioned them, so leverage. So when you invest a certain amount of money, then the property actually is worth about, you know, five times as much, for example. And then that whole amount, so say you invest $20,000, the property is worth $100,000, then the appreciation is happening on that whole $100,000. And your equity is only $20,000. So that was one that you mentioned. And then, you know, you have a mortgage, but your tenants are usually, they're paying the mortgage. At the same time, they're paying down the equity that you owe. And at the same time, there's cash flow, which you can use, as you said. And then there's a tax benefit, which I'm not sure you mentioned right now, but we'll go into that maybe some other time. Yes, since you're a 1031, you know, expert at this point, which is maybe a good segue. So, you know, thanks for sharing a bit about your background. What is it that you do now, Alex, in the real estate space?
Yeah. So now I focus my efforts on really, I'm a commercial real estate agent and a commercial real estate broker. So what that allows me to do is work with, you know, great people that want to get into, and I have a lot of first time investors, but then we have a lot of repeat investors and investors that maybe are coming from the East or West Coast or Denver or Texas that maybe has a condo or a single family home, or maybe even a duplex that they inherited or bought a few years ago, and they want a more cash flowing market. And so,
can you just break that down really quickly for our listeners? Like, what do you mean by more cash flowing market?
Yeah. So, I mean, in a market, I've never invested in California, so I don't know the exact specifics, but in a market like California, specifically, let's talk San Francisco, you know, cap rates, which I don't know how familiar your listeners are with cap rates, but a cap rate is very low, meaning it does not really produce cash that, you know, versus what you invest into it. And so it might be a 2% cap rate in California, whereas Kansas City is more of a 6 to 7% cap rate market. And so interest rate that you're borrowing at the bank, you know, right now is 4%. And so if you can't get above 4% on your investment, it doesn't really cash flow for you. That's kind of part of the now it's also going to appreciate a lot faster in California, but you have to be able to, let's say, you know, in addition to your tenants paying your mortgage, you might have to come up with more cash to pay your mortgage, and you're likely not going to be able to leverage nearly as much as you can. We just talked about leverage. So in, let's say, Kansas City, it's a $100,000 investment property. You can put $20,000, most likely $25,000 down on that as your equity, Whereas in California, you might have to put $50,000 or $60,000 of your own cash into that property. So you're not leveraged nearly as much. So it's going to take you a lot more cash to buy the same amount of property.
And that's so that the mortgage, so that the debt service coverage ratio is at like a 1.25, is that right?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have, most banks require a solid debt coverage ratio, so that way you can ensure that if something bad happens, you can still make your payments on it. And so that's why a market like Kansas City is a little different than California or some of the coastal areas. So with that, so these guys and gals have invested in real estate or inherited a piece of property. They have cash. They sold that property. They sold that investment property, whatever it is. Could be mobile home park, could be whatever, in their home market, maybe even Kansas City. We actually have a lot of Kansas City 1031 buyers as well. And now they're looking to what's commonly called lever up. And so they want to defer taxes on that property. So it's called a 1031 exchange. So you sell one property for, let's say, $100,000 for simple math, and then you want to invest that same amount into another market or more. And so the IRS, which is a federal tax code, has granted a 1031 exchange dating all the way back to probably the 1920s, 1940s, whatever it is, long time ago. It's been in the tax code forever. And so then you defer all your taxes. It's not that you're avoiding taxes. You're deferring them to a later date, either until you decide to pay taxes on your next sale, or if you pass away and you give them to your children, you actually can avoid anybody paying taxes on that property. So it's a very common way for investors to lever up. And a good example of that is $1 million condo that you sell in San Francisco. You can then take that $1 million that maybe you have in equity because you have it all paid off. You can put that into Kansas City and buy $4 million worth of real estate. So you can see why it's called lever up, and you're not paying any taxes on that $1 million, and you can still get the cash flow in Kansas City on a monthly basis from that investment. That is, I mean, that's not tax-free, but that's an income that you can use to either reinvest or, you know, go have fun with. Whatever you want to do with it, it's yours. That's my focus, is helping people through that process. You know, we even help with 1031 exchange qualified intermediaries, which is a requirement to ensure that your tax dollars are protected. We help with attorneys. We help with property management because, you know, obviously out of state investors are like, how the heck do I find a property management that's reputable? There's 1,000 of them out there. Insurance companies, you know, all the whole gamut to basically be the boots on the ground here for an investor.
Yeah, really valuable service. And I like how you explain that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who have properties. Many of them might be fully paid off, you know, that are worth what you're saying, like $1 million. And to be able to, you couldn't do that. You couldn't take $1 million property in San Francisco and buy $4 million worth of real estate. So being able to go to one of those more outer line markets that's cash flowing, as you said, seems like a really valuable offering. So how, Alex, do you get great deals? It's a hot market. You know, a lot of people are attracted to Kansas City. Tell us about that.
Yeah. And I think it's a good question. You talk to seemingly 100 investors a week that are looking for the best deals. And how do I get on your great deals list? It is a challenge. It really is. But I think the best thing to do is get a broker's attention. And the way to do that is to show that you have, even if you're a first-time investor, that you are open, willing, and able to learn, you know, because brokers get called all the time. All the brokers get called all the time. Hey, give me your best deals. It's like, why would I give you my best deals when I have other clients that I have transacted with in the past. And so I think just working with the investor, sorry, the broker, and establishing trust is going to be key there. And the way you do that is you know something about the market, or you want to know something about the market, and you have realistic expectations. So having a deal sheet, an investor background, even if you've never invested before, you've got some kind of LinkedIn profile that you can cobble something together and get to that broker. Also, you know, talking to banks or asking the broker for, hey, what local bank should I talk to? Because I can tell you right now, Fannie, Freddie, you know, what they call agency debt is not big on giving out agency debt to somebody who's never actually had agency debt before. So a lot of people make the mistake of, I'm just going to go talk to Alex here in Kansas City, and then I'll find a property through him, and then I'll go out and get agency debt, and oh my gosh, this thing will be cash flowing amazingly. It's not quite how it works, especially in this market. So you have to be able to really work with a broker, and you have to work with good brokers, like, you know, brokers that actually go out and do cold calling, prospecting, or at least have their finger on the pulse of what's going on. They know the market. They know what the market should be, because probably in any market right now, but you know, it's a very hot market and the great deals are gone the fastest. And so you as the investor get all your ducks in a row to either as you're talking to the broker or before you talk to a broker. So you're ready to pounce on the best available deal, because, you know, broker might say, hey, yeah, this is available today, but literally the next day it might be under contract.
Definitely really good advice there, Alex. So what is your favorite method for looking for deals?
So I'm a big time believer in cold calling or warm calling or lukewarm calling, whatever you want to call it. But you've got to have the ability to get a hold of sellers, and email is too easy to ignore. I use text message, email message. I use Facebook. I use LinkedIn to try to connect with people.
With sellers.
Yeah, with sellers. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you're looking to just prove to them that you're not some crazy person or a wholesaler. Sellers, and myself included, you know, we all hate wholesalers because they're not really regulated and bound to anything. So, but if you can convince a seller that, hey, look, I'm a real person, I'm a real broker, or I'm a real investor, whatever your story may be, you know, I have capital. Here's my history. In my case, it's here's all these properties I've sold for clients. Here's a detailed bio on my 1031 exchange client I have right now. It would be a great fit for this property. And, you know, you've got to have the volume, meaning you've got to have enough people to talk to in order to score one deal. And you have patience. You know, you can't go into it saying, oh, I can close tomorrow. Nobody cares. You know, if they wanted to sell it, they put it on the market. So you got to understand, when you're going into it as an off-market deal, they don't technically want to sell. So you have to show them that, hey, not only, you know, I tell this to people all the time, anybody can put a property under contract. You know, anybody can say, oh yeah, I'm going to pay $3 million for that property that's worth $1 million. But only closers can actually close on contracts. And so you have to prove that to the seller that you will close. And you have to be, you know, honest about it. You can't pull the rug out from anybody, because it's a very relationship-based business. So if you want to come into Kansas City, you burn a bridge with a broker that's, you know, decently well-known, that broker is going to, you know, have a story on you, and you're probably going to be hard to find a deal unless you kind of rebuild your credibility.
Yeah, very important lessons working with brokers and getting into hot markets. It's, you know, it's no small feat and needs to be done carefully and with intention. So that's awesome information. Alex, I know you are, how you mentioned that the importance of women investing, and I'd love for you to speak to that, because, you know, it's not often that, you know, men mention that as something they want to talk about.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's very important, because it's something that, you know, everybody can do. It's not a man thing or a woman thing. It's owning real estate, and it's so powerful to be able to grow your wealth through real estate. And, you know, we actually, our head of brokerage at the real estate brokerage firm I work for, managing partner, is a woman, and she brings a lot of credibility into women as investors. And, you know, I think, I wouldn't say half my clients, but there's probably 25% of clients are women. that, you know, are investors and they've inherited money. They've made money on their own. They've, you know, doctors, nurses, engineers. You know, I think one of the clients I had was worked at NASA, you know, and she was an engineer at NASA. And so, you know, I think just broadening your horizon, you know, your horizon on what's a good investment is important. And it's, you know, not a man's game of, oh my gosh, I got to go out there and swing a hammer and demo this wall kind of thing. It's, you know, you have a property manager for a reason and, you know, just being firm, stand your ground and women are great investors and great people to work with. So I do really enjoy it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, our motto is closing the investing gap one investor at a time. And there clearly is an investing gap between women and men, and something I'm passionate about. So thanks so much for speaking to that. Well, Alex, thank you so much for taking time and giving us a window into your life and experience as a broker in a hot market of Kansas City. Please let the listeners know how they can learn more about you and anything else you'd like to share.
Yeah, so I'm actually excited to launch my own website that is, it'll be live by the time this show's out, but it's alexolson.xyz. And yeah, you'll be able to actually complete basically a buyer intake form to get my attention. And that's the best way. Also LinkedIn, of course, and I'm on BiggerPockets, but yeah, alexolson.xyz. And, you know, love to chat with you there.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I hope you all take some time to look up Alex. And if you're thinking about investing in Kansas City, seems like a great resource. Thank you so much, Alex, for coming on the show. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.